And Luke chapter 19, we're going to see here, this is, we're going to look at the verses 11 through 27 here. We're going to see a parable here that Jesus, he's talking about here about a noble man, and he's going, this noble man's going to another city to be set up. And so we're going to read verses here, 11 through 27. It's a lot, but we'll get through it. So Luke 19, verses 11 through 27, it says this: "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came to the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou hast authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thou pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, there is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art a austere man, that thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not." So here this man, just for that word, for the ones that might know what it is that he's just a strict person. He's just, you know, just blunt. He's just kind of an angry man here. So he saith unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own usury? And said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he shall be taken away from him. But those my enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for everybody that's here. And Lord, I just ask that you just speak through me, that you're the one speaking and not myself. And Lord, I just ask that you just be with these prayer requests, with Brother Jeremy and Palmer. And Lord, just be with the preacher and his family. Be with Karen and be with Patty and just many others that aren't here. Lord, that you just heal them, keep them safe. Lord, we love you. In name pray. Amen. So today I want to talk about some things that are going to be entrusted. You see there in verse 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And so we have been given so many things, but God has entrusted us unto us. God has entrusted unto us an amazing era of things. We have been entrusted with, one, the grace of God. You go through Ephesians 4:7, it says this: "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." But also in 1 Peter 4:10, it says this: "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." You know, sometimes we sit here and we think of, you know, the word grace. Grace is very important. You know, we mess up daily, but God has grace on us. And you sit there and you see the importance of grace is, you know, it's been entrusted in us. And so you see there in Ephesians 4:7, "But unto every one of us is given." It's given. He entrusted with us. But then B is the Spirit of God. And Corinthians 1:22 says, "Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." But then if you jump over to 2 Corinthians 5:5, "Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." You know, God gives us a lot of things, and a lot of things is that we don't take it seriously. We're entrusted with it. He gives it to us, but what are we doing with it? And so, You know, there's some times when, you know, we get angry, we get mad, and we just, you know, lash out, and, you know, we're not giving grace to others. God gives grace to us, but are we giving grace to others? You sit there and think, the Spirit of God, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit is dwelleth in us. And so again, all through God's word, it says that I will never leave or forsake you. And you sit there and you see how important that is. But then C is the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is, you know, powerful, amen? And so you sit there and you go, John 17:8 says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them." And you sit there and think, a lot of people, they don't receive them. They just say, and they push it away. That's today's world. But this is where we got to have grace towards those people. Because God, again, He gave us grace. He entrusted us with it. And so when we're witnessing, when we're out telling people about Christ, is He says, hey, we got to have grace on those people. Some of those people are going to sit there and say, oh, you're stupid, you're dumb, and why would you talk about the, you know, your God? I don't believe in your God. But He entrusted us with grace, so we sit there and we say, oh, it's okay. One day you're going to answer to God. I'm just doing what God tells me to do. And you sit there and just smile at them, and yeah. And then they're just looking at me like, why is this guy like really smiling at me? Well, after I just called him stupid and every name in the book. But God entrusted us with the Word of God. And then you sit there, letter D is the ministry of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." And so you sit there and you see how cool that is that you go through that all things are of God. It's very important there. All God made everything. Again, He got Himself dirty. He cleaned Himself, not cleaned, but He went up, got Himself dirty. He made us just for us to mess it up. And you sit there and you think about that, is that reconciliation you go through, and He says, given Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Letter E here is the house of God. The house of God is important. A lot of people neglect it in today's world. You know, where they say, oh, do you really go to church? You go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Oh, you got Young at Hearts tomorrow, so you're going to be at church again. Oh, you got cleaning teams on Mondays, you're going to be at church again. You got cleaning teams on Friday, you're going to be at church again. Oh, there's men's prayer, and you're going to be at church again on Saturday. That's crazy. But the house of God is so important, that we got to keep it clean. The house of God is important that we all come together and, you know, in the house of God so that we can, you know, hear from His word, that we can, because we got entrusted with it. And so you sit there and you think of how important it is, because the house of God is so important that when more and more people come in, more and more people should be going out being fed. If you're not being fed in the house of God, then there's an issue. And so the next thing, letter F, is the man of God. Man of God's important, Ephesians 4:11. "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." God put all this here for a reason. He, you know, the Bible says, you know, how can they hear without a preacher? You know, you sit there and think, it's very important to sit there and just think and look out as, you know, you look out. I tell a lot of people that, you know, they don't believe, or they're just kind of on the border, on the fence. How can you just walk out, especially, you know, a night like last night with, you know, the sky, how beautiful it was. I didn't get to see it, but I saw all kinds of photos of it on the internet, and I was like, man, that's pretty. But you sit there and you think, how can someone not believe? And so we ask ourselves this, that God entrusted us with all these things here from A to F of, you know, His word, His church, you know, the pastor, the man of God, and He entrusted us with all these things, but then we still go back and we ask, well, what's going on? You go through this whole story here with this parable. You know, you got this nobleman that he's saying there in verse 14, "But the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" What? Hate's a strong word. That's what I'm teaching my kids now. They say, "I hate that food, Dad." You know, I finally got my son to eat some broccoli. And this is what I told him. It's the truth. I didn't lie to him. I said, "Braxton, if you eat your broccoli, it makes you get big muscles like Dad's." I used to hate broccoli. I would look at it and just, Now Megan, I don't know what she does with it. But she'll put it in the air fryer, she'll put some Parmesan cheese on top of it, and then she'll sprinkle some, I don't even know, maybe some bagel seasoning, I don't even know. But man, it comes out of the air fryer and you're just like, I can taste it right now. She even does it with Brussels sprouts too. And it's just so good. But Braxton used to sit there and he'll just nibble on it, like a little like leaf a little bit. And then he'll be like, ugh. I'm like, "Braxton, you want to get strong, right?" Yeah. "You got to eat the whole thing." So this is literally what he picked up. He's like, "Daddy, you see my big muscles?" before he used to say, I hate it, I hate it, I hate it. Maisie's the same way right now. She'd be like, Daddy, I hate that. You know, hate's a strong word. And a lot of, you know, people, they use it and use it. And they hear the men, they said, we hate this guy. We don't like this guy. You know, he's not going to be in, you know, in charge over us. But you go on and you see going through, you know, they get humbled. And then you go through, the second thing we'll see is some things are going to be expected. You think of here in life, you know, you want to sit there and be like, well, I'm expecting this. You know, I'm expecting a package today. And it's the same thing here is, you know, you're always expecting something. You tell somebody the truth about something, what are they going to tell you back? You're expecting, you know, something good today at work. Well, sometimes they expect something back. You want to work harder. But you see here that in verse 13, the second part of that is, and said unto them, occupy till I come. And so you sit there and you see the word occupy is to be occupied in anything, to carry on a business, to carry on the business of a banker or a trader. But take what God gave you and put it to work. You notice there in verse 14, it says, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so the problem with these servants was they refused to submit to the authority of their master. And we're the same way. God's our master. God's supposed to be the one that we follow. God's the one that we're supposed to, where he says, hey, study to show thyself the proof. He says, hey, the number one command, go all ye therefore. And he says, go do these things, but we reject it. Every week we reject it. Exactly what Xavier said yesterday at the pastor's meeting. You know, we all fail. We're a bunch of failures. In all seriousness, it sounds really harsh, but it's the truth, because we do fail. We go to the gas station, at least I don't anymore, praise God. You know, I'm like going on 4 weeks clean to go into the gas station and get energy drinks. You know, Xavier gave me an energy drink yesterday, and I said, man, I haven't had one of these in a while. I drank it before this, so this is why I'm like talking really, really, really fast, it seems like. Maybe I'm not, but it seems like I am, and if I am, I apologize. But it's just all cylinders, you know, 3 weeks clean, and you're just like, ooh. But anyway, but the citizens hated him and sent the message saying, he will not have this man to reign over us. But people want the blessing of God, but they do not want the accountability that comes with it. You see how important that is. You know, we all want something, but they don't want what comes with it. You know, we want a higher raise in our jobs, but you know what? A higher raise normally comes with more responsibility. You know, everybody wants a kid, but they don't want the responsibility of having a kid. Everybody wants a husband or a wife, but they don't want the responsibility of the husband and the wife. And you sit there and you think of that. And it's the same thing in today's world, and it's happening all the way back to this point, because they don't want the responsibility that God gave them. And so you think of, go over to Luke chapter 12, back a few chapters here. And we're going to read verse 48, 12:48. It says this, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. And so you sit there and think, I found that many Christians want the rewards, but they despise the requirements that is attached to it. You know, it's exciting to sit there and say, oh, I just got saved. But, well, what's the next thing after you get saved? Well, God says, go ye therefore. They don't want to do that. They just want the first step. But you sit there and think, oh, I just got saved. Well, technically step number two is to be baptized. But, oh, I'm scared of the water. I'm scared I'm going to drown. You're scared you're going to drown in, you know, a little 3 foot of water. Get over it. I'm scared of the water because, oh, you know, maybe the water's cold. Trust me, that water's 108 degrees. It feels amazing. If you want a hot tub, just jump on in. Not now, it's emptied, but yeah. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says this, moreover is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, being faithful is very important. Faithful in a job, faithful in a relationship. Number one is faithful to God. You know, we sat there in the youth group, it's probably been about a month ago, and I asked the teens, what's the most important thing, family or God? Some of them were like, 50-50. But in all reality, it's God. It's not 50-50. It's not, 75-25. It's 100% here. And then it's your family, and then so on and so forth for the kids. But you sit there and think, some of them are just like, my parents, God, parents, God. No, it's always God. Your job, God. Job, or God, spouse, God. If you always keep God first, you sit there and you see, you know, how God works. You know, there's a moment in my life, just, you know, I'm not a perfect guy. I'm just, you know, a sinner saved by grace. You know, there's times where I'm like, man, sometimes life happens and you put life before God. And then you see how God does not bless it at all. But when you put God first, God says, oh, you're faithful to me. Let me give you a blessing. And then he starts blessing you and the other things that you might be struggling with. You know, the number one thing, and I know I always say it, is that when I told preacher, yes, I want to be full-time ministry. And the number one thing I always told myself, I'm not going to let money affect it. And so I always put God first, and then God always blesses my finances. There's times I'm like, man, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how to do this. But then, you know, my phone rings, and I'm like, oh, babe, they just called for a little tiny job that's going to, you know, provide for this bill. And then God always provides. Me and Zara was talking today. You know, it's cool how God answers prayers. Like I told Jeremy on Monday, because, you know, he's like, I don't want to get my hopes up to walk again. And I said, well, God can do anything. If God wants you to walk, you'll walk. I get where you're coming from at a point, but at the same time, I don't, because I never have been in this situation. I can't relate to the guy, but all I can say is that prayer works and that God can do anything, that even though that we don't even know what he's doing. Even though that, you know, you say you can't walk, but, you know, there's going to be one day that he's going to be able to walk when he gets to heaven. So you're going to walk again one day, but not be in the time that you want it to, that you want it to be. And that's the issue with us, is that when I want something, I want it now. You know, when I want a car, you know, I just want to go to the dealership and say, I really want this car. But then they say, oh, you need whatever so much down, and this is how much it's going to be. And then I say, bank account? Yeah, my bank account said, no, that can't happen. And they say, well, we can't sell you the car. And I said, well, bank account, we'll try again another day. But that's how we want. We want something right then and there, and that's just how we are as people. But God says, hey, this is my timing, baby. You just wait on me, and I'll get it to you. Or you might not get it at all, but it's all up to me. But again, many Christians want the rewards, but they despise the requirements that is attached to it. And so you sit there and think, 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover is required in stewards than a man to be found faithful. Always be faithful. Be faithful to the things that you don't even, like, the small things. Sometimes the small things is that we neglect, and then we're always faithful to the big things. But we got to be faithful all the time, don't matter what it is. That required, here you see that is to seek, in order to find, to seek a thing, to seek by thinking, meditating, reasoning, to inquire into it, require, demand, to crave, demand something for someone. But God expects a return on his investment. But God expects you to turn a profit. And you sit there and you think, well, what does that mean? What you look at here is that, you know, God expects to turn his investment. Well, he's investing in you. You sit there and think, if I told preacher is investing a lot in me, and I say, preacher, I'm done here. I don't want to do anything. I just want to, you know, sit in the pew and just listen. Well, how do you think preacher's going to feel? He invested all his time in me. He invested God's money into me. He invested, you know, his own personal family time with me. And you sit there and think, if I did that to him, then to me it's kind of like a reject. God's saying, hey, I'm investing in you. I'm putting people in your path to witness to. I'm putting a Bible on your lap to read. I'm putting all these prayer requests on your mind so that you could pray. But yet, you're sitting there just, You're listening, but you're not, you know, reacting to it. And that's what God says. I want you to react to the things here. You see that the men there in Luke 19, they reacted. They said, we don't like this man. We don't want this man to reign. And then you go on to here. Eventually, you know, he's like afraid I'm gonna die from these people and so forth and so on. But we'll get there just in a second. But you sit there and you think that God expects us to turn a profit. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? The biggest thing now that on today's, I guess, teens, they wear the shirt, make heaven crowded. Are you making heaven crowded? It's very important to sit there and think about it. It's simple, but it's true. Are you going out doing what God told you to do, aka Matthew 28:19-20, or are you just sitting there you're just listening, but you're not reacting to it? You're just shaking your head. When I have to get Braxton's attention, I have to grab his head, look at me, son, look at me, and then he'll kind of like tilt his head, and I'm like, no, right here. And I have to put like, it's like the horse blinders where it's just look at me, not to the side. But I want you to look, and I want you to listen. You got your listening ears on? Yeah, Dad. All right, Braxton, this is what I want you to do. I need you. I need you. Well, let me finish. Braxton, yeah? I'm up here. Oh, yeah. All right, you listening? Yeah. All right, I need you to clean up your toys. Okay. Then he'll go, and he'll be playing with his cars. Braxton, yeah? I told you to clean up your toys. Braxton, yeah? I told you to clean up your toys. Oh. And then he'll pick up one toy, put it in his little toy box, and then he'll come back over here and with his car. Braxton, yeah? Dude, if you can't clean up, go to your room. You thought I killed the kid. But we're the same way. God says, hey, do what I'm telling you to do. Go out and go witness to that person. Hey, go invite that person to church. Most people don't come to church because they just don't get asked. And you sit here and you think, you go through all this, is that God expects a turn of profit. Luke 17, 7 through 10, it says, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I say, sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. He's asking a question there. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. God just wants us to do what our duty is. He doesn't want us to sit there and ask questions. He wants us to put our little, vision goggles on that seeks him and only him. He doesn't want these little G gods, whatever it may be, cleaning, eating. I like to eat. But whatever it may be, he just wants us to do his work. The third thing is, some things are going to be evaluated. Verse 15. You see here, let me go back to my text here. Luke 19:15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man hath gained by trading. Make no mistake, the day of reckoning is coming. Romans 14:12, it says, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Everyone's going to answer to God. If you've done something, if you haven't done something. But this is what I tell the teens all the time. Would you rather be called, good thy faithful servant, or would you just sit there and be like, just the head shake? When I was growing up and I did something bad, and I knew I did something bad, my mom or my dad, they'll sit there and just be like, can't believe you. Why did you do that? That's I knew it irritated them. Because, I was a bad kid. I was sitting there telling, I think it was Nancy. Yeah, it was Nancy yesterday during the preacher's meeting on our way home. And I was an awful kid. But again, by the grace of God, he changed my life completely around. But you sit there and you think, do you want to be called the good servant, or do you just want to sit there and just get the head nod? And so you look there, account to reckon, to count, complete, to calculate, to count over. You can go through all these things, but you sit there and think, evaluate yourself. This good old nobleman, he said, hey, he went and they had to evaluate. What's going on here? What am I doing wrong? And you think of going through all this from looking at, things that are going to be expected, things that are got to be evaluated, going all the way to the very beginning to some things are going to be entrusted. The most and very important thing here is that we got entrusted in the Word of God. So that what are we using it for? Are we just going with it and just day by day, just leaving it getting collected with dust? Or are we actually using it? Are we doing the things that, God, again, entrusted us with it? He says the Word of God is powerful than any two-edged sword. That's very important there. It can go right through bone marrow. The most of the strongest part of the bone cuts right through it. I sit here and I've been listening to this new guy on podcast, and funny guy, he gets on my nerves every once in a while. He says the same thing over and over, and I'm sure I do when I preach too, but I really don't listen to myself when I can't listen to myself as bad as that is. But he says the same thing. But you sit here and you think, as far as he says, I know a lot about the Bible, but a lot of people know a lot about the Bible, but they're not doing the things that they should be doing. He says, there's a lot of atheists that I would go out and I would more or less battle them with. They called them the Bible gang member, because he went and he did all this stuff so he can sit there and argue and do debates with people that didn't believe. When, again, I just look out this window and I can say there's a God. That's just me though. But he went out and but his pastor humbled him. Where's your fruit at? And he had to look. I'm out here debating these people, you know, trying to make them believe. We can't make anybody believe. Only God can. And that's what God's word is for. He entrusted us with this. He entrusted us with, you know, the house of God. He entrusted us, you know, with pastors and people that's in ministry to be able to go to and maybe get some answers that maybe you don't know. I can't say I don't know anything. I mean, I guess I can. But I'm just a Bible student. I still learn stuff every time I read. I'm going through Corinthians and, you know, it's just cool how you learn something every time. I can sit there and underline, but man, that hit hard. And then I'll go read it again. I'm like, oh man, the second part of that. Why didn't I underline the second part of that? It's just cool how God's word worked. But he entrusted us with it. But then, like I said on number two, is being expected. God expects us, once we're saved, to go out and tell others. God expects us to do all these things. Because again, you go through there in verse 13b, is that, and he said unto them, occupy till I come. He says, hey, hang on. People are going to hate you. People are going to stomp on you. People are going to push you to the side. But he says, occupy. Tell them the truth. Because God's word is truth, right? And so you sit there and you think of how important that is. But then you see there again, in verse 14, they refused him. And his citizens hated him and sent him after him, saying, we will have no man to reign over us. His people refused him. But you see there, God says, occupy them. Be there for them. Hey, there's a lot of family members that I got to occupy them because they get on my nerves. That I just, you know, I want to be sometimes like the old me, and I just want to sit there and just scream at them. Not necessarily, I didn't scream, but, you know, you want to get peaced. That's what I told a lot of people when I grew up. And when I said that, I was serious. You want to get peace. You want to get these hands, because I was ready all the time. I would never say that to family members, but, you know, to friends, because they'd always, friends, always drove me nuts. But you sit there and you think, he says, occupy them. Continue to tell them the truth. Continue to give them grace, because I entrusted you with that grace. And so he says, hey, just occupy them. But then again, there lastly is that, you know, some things are going to be evaluated. It's just like a job. Something happens, it got to be evaluated. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to sit there and cover it up? No, just let it be evaluated. And again, you see there in verse 15 that, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man hath gained by trading. And he trusted these people. He says, we're going to see how much money you're going to be making. And so you sit there, and you again, make no mistakes. The day of the reckoning is coming. But lastly here is, when was the last time you took inventory of what God has given to you? You know, it's Thanksgiving time. The other morning, I started just praying on my way to work. It's like a solid 10 to 15 minutes, depending on which way I take. And so I'm like, man, I got 15 minutes. I can sit there and just me and God time. When's the last time you sat there and, man, God gave me this, God was there for that, God was there for that, God there was there for this. I sit there and think, man, God gave me a wife, he gave me a kids, he gave me a house that's warm and cool. God gave me a wonderful church, God gave me a wonderful church family, God gave me a wonderful pastor, God gave me a wonderful family, God gave me food that's in my refrigerator, God gave me food that I can eat and, you know, be nice, God gave me the ability to do stuff around the house, God gave me the ability to do electrical work and a lot of other little small things, God gave me the ability to, you know, be friendly. There's a lot of things that I can sit there and I can keep going. But I'm sitting there thinking, the other morning, on Monday morning, on my way, I'm sitting there just praying. I'm like, God, I'm grateful for the things that you continue to do in my life. And I fail you every day. God, I'm grateful for the thing, for your word and just, you know, what it really means, and that I continue to learn and learn and learn and learn. But again, when's the last time that you evaluated yourself? You know, God answered prayers as far as, you know, I never really would have thought I would ever have a wife. God answered prayer that I never thought I would have kids. I always prayed, God, you know, before you come back, can I have a wife and can I have some kids? That was always my prayer when I was younger. But when's the last time that you evaluated yourself, your inventory? But when was the last time you run the numbers to see what you've done with it? You know, God gave me a wonderful wife. Well, God, I kept her this long, and I ain't letting it go. God, and you sit there and you think, you go, what have you done with it? God, you allowed me to lead this person to the Lord. Well, have you tried to disciple them? Have you pushed them to the next step as baptism? Oh, God, you allowed me to, you know, share the gospel with this person. They're already saved, but they were excited that there's another Christian that was out there. What did you do with it? Did you continue to talk to that person? Did you hate that person? There's too many churches. This is what drives me nuts in today's world. There's too many churches that says, oh, these people are my people. Oh, these people are my people. These people over here are my people. But in all reality, if you're saved, you're just doing the same work. We're here just do the same purpose as go ye therefore. We're here. It doesn't matter as far as the church, what church you go to. If the church down the street, whatever, 2 miles down the road did what they did, and they stole some of you guys, well, at least you're still in church. And you sit there and you think of how important that is. We're all fighting with one another and all these other churches, and who cares? Because we're still doing the same work. Quit fighting and just join. You had the opportunity to receive Christ and you rejected him, there would be a tremendous penalty for rejecting Jesus. But lastly here, go to Revelation 20 and I'm done. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 here. Revelation 20, 11 through 15, it says this, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead and which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And the dead and the hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whomsoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know, if that doesn't give you some goosebumps about the ones that you're just rejecting every day, you know, you should evaluate yourself. Because again, you sit there and you think, God's gracious, and he enriched us with a lot of things. And what are you doing with those things? So evaluate yourself. And ask yourself, man, God gave me all these things. It's Thanksgiving month. You know, I'm thankful for this, this, and this. But what have you done with all those? Are you just letting them go to the wayside? Or are you using them for the glory of God so that you can see people go to heaven and make heaven crowded than seeing people go straight to hell? So ask yourself. Lord, we're thankful for this day. Again, I'm thankful for the opportunity to just be able to just open up your word and just be able to preach it. Lord, I'm grateful for the ones that just come.